Think of an orchestra player like a professional athlete.
You have these incredibly uniquely talented people, and they deserve more money.
That's Tom Smith, an economist at Emory University's Goizueta School of Business. Smith says just like sports teams, orchestras depend in part on ticket sales to pay their players. But whereas pro sports teams usually have packed stadiums, orchestras are struggling because of aging audiences and lagging ticket sales. So that's the problem, right? Well, sure, says Smith, but it's more complicated than that.
A team like the Chicago Bulls or Atlanta Hawks or whomever else, maybe 35% of their revenue comes from ticket sales. So just filling the seats doesn't help the Hawks pay for their salaries and their players.
Smith says orchestras suffer from something called cost disease. Think of a string quartet. To be a quartet, there always have to be four players, and it takes them the same amount of time to play a piece today as it did 100 years ago. But the costs associated with that performance, paying the players, renting a venue, promotion, those increase over time. That's cost disease. Expenses go up, but they're not offset by more accuracy or efficiency. Robert Flanagan is a professor at Stanford University and wrote a book on the economics of symphony orchestras.
Most people who work in the performing arts expect their pay to increase roughly at the same rate as pay in the rest of the economy. But unlike the rest of the economy, the labor requirements for putting on a performance don't change.
To a lesser extent, sports teams suffer from the same economic affliction. It still takes 10 players to play a basketball game that's four quarters long. But sports teams have billion-dollar broadcasting deals, stadium naming rights, and merchandise sales to round out their budgets. Orchestras don't have that luxury, so they have to rely on corporate donations, large individual gifts, and endowments. Flanagan says here's where declining demand comes into play. Fewer large donors.
Most of that declining demand are also people who had previously contributed to the support of orchestras.
But Emory's Tom Smith says even when big donations do come in, they often come with a catch.
People aren't usually just going to give you money and say, oh, here's $1 million and go ahead, use it to pay the salary of your violin players. They're going to say, I want a building and I want a building with my name on it.
And that's led to the downsizing of orchestras, including Atlanta's. 2 years ago, the players agreed to salary cuts and the elimination of seven positions. But cuts come with their own consequences, as musicians will leave for spots at bigger orchestras that haven't had to make the same cuts. So what's a struggling orchestra to do? Symphony consultant Daryl Edwards says today's orchestras may need to diversify their music, opting for more of a mix of popular music and symphony classics.
The orchestras that are doing well are doing both. And it's not to take away from the importance of orchestras playing the masterworks, because that's how they really grow artistically. You're not going to get better as an orchestra playing pops concerts.
Which leaves orchestra directors in a tricky spot. Do they play the score from Star Wars for the upteenth time to bring in people, or play something new that may not appeal to a wide audience? Edwards says it's a decision many directors may be reluctant to make. Michelle Aloy, WABE News.